This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman rabbal 'alamin. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to teach us what benefits us and to benefit us with what He teaches us and to increase us in knowledge and to make us of those who hear and seek the best and implement it. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen, and not to make us of those who learn and then their learning becomes evidence against them that you knew what he did not follow and he did not apply. I mean, so hadith number 10, bihamdillah azza wa jalla. And by reaching hadith number 10, you can say to yourself, I've reached about 25% of the book. And being able, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, to listen and to read up to 25% of the book tells you that the rest of it, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, is easy and doable. Because when you break a big task into smaller parts and you just focus on accomplishing that goal, that smaller goal, the first 5 pages, 10 pages, the first juz' of the Qur'an, not the whole thing, but the first. And here, the first hadith. You may look at the whole book and think that it's overwhelming. I will not be able to finish that book. But if you do a hadith a week or a hadith a day, gradually you'll find yourself at the 25%. And then he who is able to accumulate 25% of something says to himself, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, the 50% is within reach. And that is the beauty and the benefit of embarking on something, especially if that thing is pleasing to Allah azza wa jalla, because with more effort Allah azza wa jalla guides and facilitates and gives ease towards more of what pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 25%, then you say to yourself, inshaAllah, the 50% is there, right, within eyesight. And once you reach the 50%, you will say to yourself, what has remained of the book is less than what had passed. Because the last 50% is always easier, right? You already have the habit and the discipline and the desire to finish it, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. It's always more difficult to start than to finish. The hadith that is number 10. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ آنِيَةً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah azza wa jal has vessels from the people of earth. Allah has vessels, containers of the people of earth. وَأَنِيَةُ رَبِّكُمْ قُلُوبُ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And the vessels of your Rabb are the hearts of His pious servants. وَأَحَبُّهَا إِلَيْهِ أَلْيَنُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا. And the most beloved to Him of these vessels are the softest and gentlest. So there are three parts to this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah has vessels on this earth. So it's a container. So what do you put usually in a container? The thing that you want to keep. The thing that you care about, isn't it? Like if you have a container, what do you keep in it usually? You want it to contain something that you care about. So the container and what it contains matter to you. So he says, of the people of this earth, right, of everybody who's living, Allah Azza wa Jal has containers, things that He keeps for you. What are these containers? That's the second part of the hadith. وَأَنِيَةُ رَبِّكُمْ قُلُوبُ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. These containers are the hearts of the pious. So every heart of a pious person is a wi'a, is a container of Allah Azza wa Jal on earth. And that is their privilege. We'll talk about this, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. And then among these hearts, whom all are containers, what is the best of hearts? He said, أَلْيَنُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا. The softest and the gentlest. And we'll see the difference, inshallah, between them. But let's focus here on our hearts being containers. Like, what do they contain? Now think of the heart. The heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created, which is the receiver of information, the receiver of emotion, the processor of thought. That's the main part of the body that does all of this. Is the heart ever empty? Can you think about it? Could your heart ever be empty? You say, no, it cannot be so. Because at any moment, waking moment, your heart is always thinking and deciding and remembering. It's always moving. It always has something inside. Good or bad, it always has something that is inside. It's always carrying something. And that thing that it carries reflects its concerns and reflects its life and reflects its connections to Allah Azza wa Jal. And these hearts reflect in how and what they carry the piety and the impiety of the person who houses this heart. So this heart that Allah Azza wa Jal, and subhanAllah, just imagine that every single heart has that capacity to be a container of Allah's container. Allah wants to send something to that heart, something that is very special and nothing else but the heart can receive it, which is what? The knowledge of who Allah is. And loving Allah Azza wa Jal, and being in awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being hopeful of Him and reliant on Him and trusting Him and expecting the best from Him. All these things are in the heart, and the iman that begins in the heart and goes back to the heart. It's not just in the heart, but it's there. And the taqwa, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at-taqwa hahuna, and he pointed to his heart. So that is the receptacle that contains all of these things, and all of these things are the best of the best. The ubudiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal at its essence is in the heart. Though it's not exclusively there, because the ubudiyyah is the body as well. The body has to surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the essence of the servitude or the ubudiyyah of the body is the ubudiyyah of the heart. So that heart carries the best that Allah Azza wa Jal had given. Because Allah Azza wa Jal gives what? He gives life, and He gives rizq, and He gives success in this life, and He answers this dua and that dua. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives us everything. But the best that Allah gives us is iman. And the thing that is carries that iman is the heart. So that's why when Al Prophet says he has vessels, yes, these are the most important vessels. Because these are the vessels that carry the most important thing for which we were created. So the Prophet said that, you know, each person, like the truest of name, is Harith and Wahamman. Right? Harith is a doer, person who does all the time. That's the meaning of the name. If your name is Harith, what does it mean? You're constantly doing. Hammam, you're constantly intending or planning to do something. The human being, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when referring to these two names as the truest two names that reflect who a human being is, that a human being is always thinking about doing something or doing it. Right? That you're either doing something at this moment, or if you're not doing something, you're thinking about what to do. Always harith, doing, or hammam, I'm thinking about something to do. So this ham that you have in your heart, and the ham, the intention comes from your heart, determines your life, and determines your place with Allah Azza wa Jal, and determines how will you receive His revelation or reject it. So in page 109, one of the quotes from Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ تَغْلِي قُلُوبُهُمْ بِأَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ تَغْلِي قُلُوبُهُمْ بِأَعْمَالِ الْفُجُورِ وَاللَّهُ يَرَى هُمُومَكُمْ فَانْظُرُوا مَا هُمُومُكُمْ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ. He said, rahimahullah, the hearts of the pious are boiling with righteous deeds, while the hearts of the impious are boiling with sinful deeds. And Allah sees your concerns. I mean, he's aware. He sees inside your heart and he sees what you're planning and worried about inside your heart. So consider what your concerns are. May Allah be merciful with you. What he's saying here, rahimahullah, is very valuable because we often neglect to inspect and cleanse what we're thinking about. And then we wonder then, how is it that we are drawn into that sin or into the dunya or away from Allah Azza wa Jal, not noticing that it all began with a failure to filter what is going inside the heart. So when he said, rahimahullah, al-abrawu, imagine with me a pot. And the pot is boiling. And it's boiling with water. So it's what? It's ready to do what? It's moving. Right? It's moving. It's not still, but it's moving, wants to do something. That's what the pot, when it boils, it tells you that I'm ready, I'm cooking. So what is the heart of the pious cooking? He said, rahimahullah, righteousness. What is he thinking about? So the righteous, they're thinking about what? Salah, and sadaqah, and Quran, and missed opportunities. Oh, I should have given that sadaqah. I should have said that salam. I should have prayed at night. I should have avoided that haram. So the hearts of the pious, what makes them pious is that the heart is always wondering, how can I be better? It's always boiling, right? And it can't wait to do more and to do better. That's what the pious is. That's how they got to where they were. Because when they see something right, they bring it inside the heart. If they see something bad, they kick it out. And that's how they keep it safe. The heart of the impious, and that might be something maybe easier to understand. The heart of the impious are always thinking about bad things and how to do them. You finish one bad thing, so somebody, for instance, is a thief. He steals one thing. What is he thinking about next? How to steal? The next thing, and the bigger thing, and the more expensive thing. And he can't sit still, because if you've absorbed that sin, you can't sit still. Somebody sells drugs, and he's successful, and he gets money. What he's thinking about? How to expand. So the sin boils, and the heart of the sinful boils with that sin. So you're planning the next sin, and you want to do the next sin. Or if you hurt someone, and you think that that brought you benefit. Now you're thinking about how can I hurt the next person to get more benefit. So the heart of the impious are boiling with urging, pushing a person to sin. That's what inhabits the heart. And that pious, no, that's the opposite. They really want to do what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, and one good thing leads to the other. So he then says, rahimahullah, Allah sees what's in your heart. He looks inside and he sees what's in your heart. So meaning watch it. Don't let go of it. Because we have two layers to us. That's why the heart is really the most important container on earth. The difference between a person who is in the upper heavens and the person who is in the lower depths of hellfire is in the heart. So that's why we have two layers. A layer that is on the outside, where we can pretend to be whatever you want to pretend to be, and you can deceive as many people who are willing to be deceived. You can then do that. But inside, that's your true nature. This is a sir, not the alaniya, this is a sir. So he says, rahimahullah, Allah sees what's inside. So don't only concern yourself with the outside having a corrupt inside. That is the receptacle of Allah Azza wa Jal. Clean it so it can carry iman. But if you put in it envy and iman, they don't stay together. Envy and deception, they don't stay together. Envy and jealousy, they don't stay together. Envy on suspecting Allah Azza wa Jal or thinking the worst of Him, they don't stay together. So cleanse your hearts, because Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. So then you should look in it. And if in your heart at that moment there's a desire for the haram, what should you do? Say, Allah sees it. Be ashamed of it and take it away. And if it is too entrenched, say, Allah, help me with it. I like this thing too much. Help me with it. And be sincere, Allah Azza wa Jal will help you with it. But protect the containers of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they contain what is more valuable than gold and silver, that thing which people kill themselves over. Right? And here on Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, that's another quote from him, that's beneficial in understanding how do you keep the heart moving, because it always has to keep moving. So he says, radiallahu anhu, إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْقُلُوبُ أَوْعِيَةٌ. These hearts are vessels. فَشْغَلُوهَا بِالْقُرْآنِ وَلَا تَشْغَلُوهَا بِغَيْرِهِ. So occupy them with the Qur'an and not with anything else. This is an answer to a question that may say, how do I keep my heart alive and well? And how does it stay a container that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves? So he says, رَحِمَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he is what? He says, all of them are vessels. And you know how in certain vessels, physical vessels, when you put the wrong substance, it destroys the vessel, the container. It just corrupts it, either discolors it, okay, or it kind of pierces through it, depending on the material. So if you don't have the right thing inside, it ruins it. So for the heart, what does he say? They have to carry something. How do you keep it? How do you keep it safe? How do you protect it? What is the best thing to enter the heart? That's what he said, radiallahu anhu, ishghaluha bil Qur'an. Occupy it, fill it with the Qur'an, not with something else. And he doesn't mean here, not hadith, but the Qur'an only. That's not what he means. But the Qur'an and everything that serves the Qur'an, so the Qur'an and hadith and the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, pump inside the heart that thing. Then your heart will always be close to Allah and gentle. Your heart will be big, because also that's one thing that you want to keep in mind about a container. Containers are not only of one size. Physically, our hearts could be of similar or comparative sizes, physically. But non-physically, emotionally, religiously, no two hearts are exactly the same size. The Prophet ﷺ in the ayah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not expand your chest for you? And what do you say about a person? Who is a person who has a big heart? He's a person who's able to do what? Forgive and tolerate, meaning he can take a lot inside, right? So why is that? Because the container is big. طيب, ask yourself, what expanded that container? And he has the same heart that I have. What expanded it? You put things in it. What is the thing that expands it? You put the Qur'an in it. And you put Iman in it. And you put the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal in it. Because what tightens it is sin and love of the dunya. Right? It's like it's punctured. Sin punctures the heart. And if you want another image, sin or love of the dunya stiffens the heart. It's not flexible. So it can't move, it can't stretch. So then that's when you find yourself unable to forgive, and you lack patience, and you lack love for what Allah loves, and you hate everything, and you're anxious, and you're depressed, and you're sad, and you're dissatisfied, even though you have everything. Everything. Compared to somebody sitting right next to you. But لا, the wi'a, the vessel, there's a problem with it. So ishghaluha bil Qur'an. So Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take care of these hearts by using the Qur'an, right? And this is on page 1. The open hearts and the sealed hearts. One other difference between them, we talked about the big, and the small, and the flexible, and the inflexible. But also the hearts that are open to Allah Azza wa Jal, the hearts that are open to other people and the hearts that are closed. So the Allah Azza wa Jal quotes the people of the book, talking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, trying to justify why they don't want to receive Allah's guidance. So he says, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. And they said, our hearts are wrapped. Like when you wrap something, surround it with something, that what you're saying doesn't penetrate our hearts. They are wrapped. But Allah says, بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. No, no, it's not that it is wrapped, that they don't understand, that actually they fail to understand. But Allah Azza wa Jal had put a seal on them because of their disbelief. So there are hearts that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of that, they're also close to people. And there are hearts that are further away from Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of that, they are cruel when it comes to people. Right? So in the hadith, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, the most beloved of the pious hearts. Okay? So the pious hearts, you have the containers, are the pious hearts. But among the pious hearts, Allah loves a particular type of heart. And that is what? أَلْيَنُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا, the softest and the gentlest. And it explains here in the book the difference between those two words. لَيِّن وَرَقِيق. So the رَقِيق means that there's a thin layer around it. So whatever is on the outside can easily come on to the inside. Right? Like a very sheer curtain. You see from both sides. So any outside influence, meaning guidance, comes in easily. It's not obstructed. Opposite what the people of the book said about themselves. Oh, there's an obstruction between us and you. We don't want to hear it. We don't even understand it. But no, the pious heart is that layer around it is very thin. If Allah says something, it goes in. And also, layin, it's soft. Not ghalib, layin. Then in itself, it's also soft. So what comes on the inside, from the outside to the inside, comes in easily and moves it easily. So these people, when they read the Quran, they could cry. Why? Because that speech of Allah Azza wa Jal comes inside the heart easily. Doesn't need to knock. Easily. And then it moves the heart. So they cry. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allahu nazzal ahsan al-hadith. Allah Azza wa Jal has sent down the best of speech. Okay? If we were to understand that, the best of speech, meaning that if you were to rank all books and what people said in those books and the conclusions and the insights and the wisdom in it, and then you want to compare it to the Quran, you will say what Allah said is better. Ahsan al-hadith. There is no better speech than that for all your needs, for all your wisdom. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith. Kitaban mutashabiha. A consistent book with repeated lessons. That is tashabuh. تَقْشَعِرُ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. He said, the skins of those who are in awe of their Rabb shiver because of it. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then their skins and their hearts soften at the mention of Allah. These are the containers that we're talking about. That when they hear the best of speech, they don't say, well, that is not affecting me. I don't understand what it says. Something else is better. No, no. And it moves them that their skin shivers. Because they understand Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He is saying, that Allah is addressing them. So the skin shivers, goosebumps when they read the Quran. Their hair stands. Then what happens? And everything else softens after. So they take the Quran in the best of way, and they use it in the best of way. And these are the people who read the Quran and are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we find ourselves, not me among those people, We must realize that the path is open. It can happen. The more that you read it, the more that you understand it, the more that it inhabits your heart, the more that you plead with Allah Azza wa Jalla and see this as a requirement and a goal. Ya Allah, I want to be that person who when they read the Quran, they cry. I want to feel that connection with you, that I really want my skin to shiver when I read the Quran. I want to be moved. Because I'm not content with the fact of just reading for the sake of reading only. Beautiful that I've given the opportunity to read. But I want that deep connection. I want that deep emotional connection with the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. How do I get it? When you realize that that's a goal, then you will strive to reach it. But if sin is competing in your heart against the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's really hard to cry or to feel the Quran. So it's important, as we said, that we realize that this heart is an amanah that Allah had given to you. That's the most important possession that you have, more than your health, more than the health of your skin, more than the health of your body. The health of your heart is the thing that determines heaven and hellfire. So is it big or small? Is it soft or is it hard? Is it open or is it closed? Is it kind or is it cruel? Is it filled with mercy or not? So, the heart that Allah Azza wa Jal loves is the heart that is soft, lenient when it comes to His revelation, and that's one important aspect of it, and that's the foundation of it. And then derived from that, it's also compassionate and merciful when it comes to Allah's creation. And these things must be present for a person to be merciful. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah says about him, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is because of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that you are soft with them. Right? That mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal made it possible for the Prophet to be what? Soft. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able, alayhi salatu wasalam, to tolerate all the things that were done to him and still be kind and forgiving. He won't be able to. But the rahmah of Allah supplies you with the power and with the wisdom to be kind with people who are around you, to absorb their injustice, infractions, and reflect into compassion and mercy. Absorb them so that they would believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, so that when they see your character, they see beyond what a human being is able to perform. But because every other human being, when they see, is selfish. Or if they hurt him, he hurts them back. Double and triple the offense. But when they see Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they realize that this person is a very total different person of a different caliber. Because this person behaves differently. And no one can behave this unless they are a prophet. And it's not impossible for us to get a fraction of this. But it has to have to come from Allah's mercy. And for us to feel that mercy, that the heart is really reliant on Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know when you're hungry and you can't wait to go and eat your favorite meal? Favorite food. Think of it. What's your favorite food? It's X. Think that you're hungry at this moment. Now think of the fulfillment that you get when you know that I'm heading there, I'm about to buy it, I'm about to sit, and I'm about to eat it, and when you're eating it. You know the love that you have for it? That intense love? That's the intense love that we should have for Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the food that we eat and we forget about it. But Allah Azza wa Jal, if He gives you His love, you don't need anything else after it. If He gives you His mercy, you don't need any other human being after it. The mercy of Allah is sufficient for you. So here the Prophet ﷺ, his heart was so big. Why? Because the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal made him soft and kind. And if he were to do anything else other than that, people will run away. So if you want to be someone who attracts people, if you want to be someone who is kinder to your family, to your neighbors, to your extended family, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the fuel to do this. Without it, you will have a very uptight heart that does not tolerate and does not forgive and seeks vengeance.
Because that's the only way that it can feel better. But if Allah can compensate you, that is totally something different. And we mentioned before the relationship between rahmah and ilm. Right? If you remember, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Ya Allah, you encompass all in mercy and in knowledge. And we said that as Allah's knowledge, remember this, as Allah's knowledge covers every single thing in existence, Allah knows it fully, right? From beginning to end. So does His mercy. And we mentioned that as your ilm increases, your mercy should increase as well. And you should find that effect. The more that you know of the Quran, you will find more rahmah. The more that you understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you follow it, you will find more rahmah in your heart. The more that you study fiqh, you'll be more aware of the rahmah that is in fiqh itself. And so on and so on and so on. Right? And we list why Allah Azza wa Jal loves mercy. But before that, there's also another hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praising the people of Yemen. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, أَتَاكُمْ أَهْلُ الْيَمَنْ هُمْ أَرَقُّ أَفْئِدَةً وَأَلْيَنُ قُلُوبًا. He said, the people of Yemen have arrived, their hearts are gentler and softer. So this is one characteristic, and it could be, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best, an enduring characteristic of the people of Yemen. And anybody else who resembles them in this attribute, that the Prophet ﷺ singled them out, although they came to accept Islam, but the Prophet ﷺ singled them out because of having soft and gentle hearts. Because a soft and gentle heart will accept Islam, he will not argue, he will be kind to the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will spread da'wah, he will read the Quran, Allah loves that. Then why is it that Allah Azza wa Jal loves mercy? Let's count a few reasons. First, Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful with His creation, so He wants you to extend that mercy. That's Allah's intent. Right? So if Allah Azza wa Jal wants to bless everybody or save everybody from hunger, let's say, Allah doesn't want people to be hungry. And so He blesses some people directly with food. And for others, He gives you the money that you should give to them. What is the intent there? To hold on to that money or to feed them? It's to feed them. So when you see Allah wants to feed everybody, then your task should be, I want to feed them as well. So you become an extension of Rahmatullah, an extension of the mercy of Allah. If you could see yourself as an agent, that on this earth, I see an animal hurting. Why should I go and give it water if it's thirsty? Why should I bother? Right? You know the hadith of the person who entered, or the woman who entered, both of them, Jannah, because they've given water to a thirsty what? Dog. Right? Why should I bother to stop and give them water? Right? We're not here just talking about just compassion for animals, right? And we're talking also, compassion for animals, definitely, but it's part of something that is bigger. Rahmah. Rahmah, that you're looking at everything with the eyes of mercy. Allah's rahmah fills all of this. And you see a suffering being, and you can end their suffering. Why not stop and end that suffering? So you become a soldier or an agent of Allah's rahmah. You become part of Allah's rahmah. So you go and you save them, and because you save them, Allah saves you. So the first, you fulfill Allah's intent with His creation by being merciful. So Allah loves mercy because of that, will love you because of that. The more that you learn Islam, Quran, the Sunnah, the foundations of them in particular, the more that you'll understand that Allah favors mercy and forgiveness, giving people excuses. So when a person commits a sin, it's easy to forgive it. So there's a tilt, there's an obvious tilt in Islam towards forgiveness or punishment. There's punishment, definitely. And the punishment is there to deter and stop, right? It needs to be. Otherwise, if it's not there, it'll be lack of wisdom. But the tilt in Islam is towards what? More mercy or more punishment? Mercy. Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. So you see the tilt in Sharia as well, right? The person who commits zina, how many witnesses do you need? Four. Even one person though could be enough, but no, four. Other offenses, two. Not just by mere suspicion, they need to be, you know, confident of something that has happened. So you see that, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you a command, salah. You can't pray standing, sit, you can't lie down, you can't make wudu, tayammum, you can't do that without it, you can't move your body with your eyes. You can't do hajj then, so Allah gives you one excuse after the other. And the haram, right? If you cannot but take that haram, what does it become? Halal, within reason. So you find like there is a tilt, huge tilt in Islam towards mercy. So when you become a da'iyah, or you become a sheikh, or you become a teacher, or you're teaching your kids, or your students, do you remember what the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh and Abu Musa? يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا وَبَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا. He sent them to Yemen. Yemen comes up again here. Send them to Yemen. What's the instruction? يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا. Ease. Preach with ease, not difficulty. يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا وَبَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا. Bring good news. Don't repel people. Meaning, bring people in. Right? Islam is easy. Let them know that it's easy. Don't put burdens on them that are not in Islam. Right? Sometimes we do that out of kind of, you know, being overzealous and, you know, aching for Islam and wanting more. So we put burden on people. But no, the Prophet ﷺ said no. Ease. So you find that tilt. Even in the Sharia itself, right? As we said, you find that tilt. So if that's the way, then you also tilt towards forgiveness and finding excuses to people and accommodating. As long as the Sharia can accommodate, then you accommodate, right? And as long as you can forgive, then you forgive. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal loves mercy and we should embrace it. Also to remember that as you're looking at other people and noticing their mistakes or the things that they are struggling with, to realize that كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You were like them and Allah favored you, so now you're not. That remember that whatever you are doing at this stage, you are able to overcome it by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, your past, the mistakes, and even whatever stage you have at this moment, you know your flaws. You know the things that nobody knows except Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know the things that simmer in your heart and you only know about them, but you keep them at bay. And it's only by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla that they had not been revealed to all of us. So if you know your own limitations, understand people's limitations as well. And they are deserve your pity and mercy and rahmah so that they can be rescued rather than condemned. So you need the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, soft enough and gentle enough to be able to absorb everybody else. Right? And then also, and this note is about yani, differences of opinions in Islam. He says, the more that we learn, the more that we realize that scholars must disagree. Right? In Islam, there are points where there's consensus. No one should disagree there. Ijma, tawatur. We must know these things. There's no compromise in these areas. We can teach the ignorant. But we can't say, well, somebody said yes and somebody said no. There's consensus. So if you want ilm, you want to be a person who is knowledgeable, you want steady footsteps, you understand that area very well. All these things are obligations by consensus. Salah, zakah, hajj, right? Other obligations, I'm not going to go through all of them. There are prohibitions by consensus. Is there any disagreement about alcohol? Being an intoxicant, or drugs, or theft, or riba, meaning like straight up riba. Any disagreement? There are consensus. You come into on the edges disagreements, but we're talking about the big issues. If there is ijma' on them, there is no disagreement. Then when you move into the middle, okay? And this is a good for as a structure for you to understand where you're at and what you're talking about. Then in the middle, there are areas of disagreement. Now those areas can be divided into two. Areas of valid disagreement and areas of invalid disagreement. What is the area of valid disagreement and what is the area of invalid disagreement? Invalid disagreement is when you have scholars, and we're going to assume good intentions, but scholars disagreeing over something. But this one is right and this one is wrong. So how do you know? Because this one has evidence and this one lacks it. He made a mistake. It's clear for us at this time when we look at it to see that he made a mistake. For him at that time, early on in Islam, he couldn't see it. May Allah forgive him and reward him for this effort. Right? Happens. Okay? And everybody must have something like that. No one is complete and perfect. So, if there's a disagreement and one evidence effectively points in one direction against the other, you're not allowed to say there's a disagreement of opinion in this matter. Because the evidence is clear. The area where there is valid disagreement is where the evidence is not that clear. It's about 50-50. Strong on this side, strong on this side. You may choose one over the other, but you know this will remain to be a valid area of disagreement probably till the day of judgment. The more that you learn, the more you will appreciate that middle area and understand that it's always there. So you're not going to fight over it. And you will leave the other person the space as he leaves you that space. And you'd be generous as he is generous. And that's where you will find an area of Islam that is called Rahmah. Where there is in that area of disagreement, then you can find Rahmah. Not in all types, but in that area of valid disagreement. And the last thing I want to say about mercy, inshaAllah, is kind of complements point number three, which is to have compassion for people's limitations, is to look at people with two lenses, with two points of view. If they're doing something that is haram. So you see something who's a public sinner, someone who's a public sinner, doing something that is haram. Stand on this side. What you look at is somebody who is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla and challenging him with that sin. And for that he deserves punishment. Yeah. But you stand on this side and you find somebody who is troubled and ignorant. And doesn't know what is good for himself, and needs help, and needs advice. And if no one saves him, he could throw himself in hellfire. So on this side, you become angry with him. On this side, you want to cry over what he has done to himself. So there's always, with Ahlul Ma'asi, always compassion. You're not always holding a stick to hit people. At some time, it's important to do that, figuratively, that's what I mean. It's important to be tough enough, harsh at times, because otherwise people will not quit that sin. But also at the same time to see that they are fallen victims to it. So sometimes dealing or treating that sin is more effective with compassion. And sometimes with other people, if sternness, harshness works best. Wisdom is required here to distinguish between all. So, we conclude inshaAllah by saying Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful. It's important always, and this is one of the main messages of the book, in fact it could be the main one, that if Allah Azza wa Jal loves something, you take from it something that makes you love Allah. Because He loves it for your sake. Sahih? Yani Allah does not gain anything from making you merciful so that you're nice to people. But if you think of yourself as one person sitting in this halaqa, or in this city, or in this world, and Allah is telling everybody around you, you know what? Take care of him and be merciful with him. Take care of his feelings and take care of his honor and take care of his family and take care of his property and take care of this. And if he makes a mistake, you know, be nice to him and give him advice. And Allah is telling everybody around you, take care of him, take care of him, take care of him. So that tells you something about how much Allah cares about you. Forget about people now. How much Allah Azza wa Jalla cares about you, that He had made every one single person around you commanded to take care of you and to be merciful with you. So that means that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is much more than the mercy of everybody who surrounds you. Then your heart should be attached to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. When you need something, ask Him. And He will put mercy on this earth in the hearts of people. You want guidance, ask Him. He will give it to you. But it's there because He did it and He had asked people to do it. So Allah, because of this, He wants you to become more merciful. Layyin. Layyin. Wa raqeeq. When it comes to Allah's revelation. And again, we said, if there's resistance, take note of that resistance. Why is it that I don't enjoy reading the Quran? Why is it that I don't cry? Why is it that doesn't speak to me? Why is that I'm not finding a sweetness in ibadah? Why is all of this happening? Note it, because that is not normal. It shouldn't be normal. It shouldn't be accepted as normal. And then start asking for a better heart and pushing your heart to be better and pumping more of Allah's love in it and the Quran to be better. And you will see. You will see that the heart will start to change and will start to shift bi-ibnillah azza wa jal. And these hearts, as we said, because they'll be close to Allah azza wa jal, if they find somebody who's hurting, they'll help for Allah. So if somebody in distress, nobody needs to remind them, please take care of so-and-so. They will go, they will rush, they will take care. They will send somebody, they will smile when they see them. Why? Because I know Allah loves this. Maybe when I smile, they'll feel better, and I want them to feel better for Allah's sake. They'll be so in tune with people, not rough. Because sometimes it could happen that we are so caught up into our own world, especially if you study Islam or whatever you're studying, you're caught up in your own world that you don't notice people around you. You don't notice their suffering. You're just caught up in your own thing. Mine and my thing and my demands and my priorities. But everybody around you has a problem. You just don't see it because you're just focused on your own. Allah Azza wa Jalla rescues you when you are a believer from that self-centeredness. And He says, look at them. They need you. And when you take care of them, your problem also goes away. So Allah wants you to ache for people's pain. And when you do this, you'll start really to feel bad for every single person that you see. Even the worst of people, you'll think they have an excuse maybe. I don't know about it. But then Allah knows about it. Until you run out of excuses. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, just so remember here, I know I focused on, you know, having merciful hearts and all of this, but notice that if your heart is merciful, it is the most beloved heart to Allah Azza wa Jal. And for that it must contain Iman and the Quran. And you have the opportunity to have such a heart, to actually have it in you. And for Allah to love it so much that you become a special container, a special person in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what an honor and what a privilege and what a joy and what a rahmah that you could walk and Allah Azza wa Jal looks at you and He smiles at you. What a privilege that is. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal smiles at you, then Allah Azza wa Jal loves you. And if Allah Azza wa Jal loves you, there is no fear and there is no regret. And there is no pain and there is nothing missing. So ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, you know, to give us hearts that love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make our hearts the softest and the gentlest. We ask him, Allah Rabbil Alameen, to make us among the righteous whose hearts contain Iman and Taqwa. We ask Rabbil Alameen to expand our hearts and soften them. And we ask him, Rabbil Alameen, to make us of those who strive towards his love and to reward us with his love. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So we'll stop here, inshallah. Let me know if you have questions. Be happy to answer. Yeah. Walaikum
As-salam. What's the difference between the fu'ad and qalb?
Now, so one of the people of Bayan, contemporary people of Bayan, Fadil Lisan al-Ra'i, and he's alive and he has kind of a book in Arabic, and he notes the kind of some of the subtle different linguistic differences in different names in the Quran. So according to him, Barakallahu fi, he says both of them refer to the heart. But when you look at the words themselves, fu'ad signifies, according to him, what you could call the heat associated with the emotions of the heart. That there are intense emotions at that moment. So, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. And then the fu'ad of the mother of Musa became empty. So he said, why did he use subhanahu wa ta'ala fu'ad, although qalb? Makes sense, right? Because fu'ad is something that has heat in it. So it signifies the agitation, right, that she's feeling. Qalb, if you go to the hadith, and that you can find it in the heart therapy. إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ مِنْ تَقَلُّبِهِ. The heart was called the heart because it keeps turning. It's never stable. So sometimes when the heart is used as such, other than a noun for it, it's used to kind of signify that it's always agitated, it's never still. So you need to keep taking care of it, because if you don't, like if you feed it Quran today, neglect it for 3-4 days, it's as if you didn't feed it much. So it keeps shifting all the time, but the different influences that come into it, always shifting and always changing, never still. So always you have to take care of it, right? Similar to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, تَعَاهَدُ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا مِنَ الْإِبْلِ. So he said, والسلام, you know, keep memorizing or taking care of the Quran, because it gets loose faster than a camel that is not tied. So the same thing with the heart. If you don't really pay attention to it, it gets loose and it's thinking about things that displease Allah. So you have to keep it, you rein it in. That's the difference with Allah. So, sisters, nothing here? Okay. Brother Said, yeah, please.
It might not be a short answer, but are there any practical steps to make the heart open and soft, as is mentioned here?
Barakallahu feek. You're definitely right. I'll repeat your question. Are there any practical steps for you to make the heart soft and gentle? The short answer, the long answer is the other book, right? The short answer is, first of all, you need to understand it. So that's what the other book does. First of all, understand it. Because if you understand it, you understand how to deal with it and its nature and what works for it and what not. So when you understand that the senses feed it, you understand that it always needs anchoring, right? It always needs positive influences. It doesn't stay the way that it is, that sin affects it in this particular way. So when you understand all of these things, they'll understand how to react to all of them. So just the short answer is understand the nature of the heart. Then make dua for it. And then fill it with whatever Allah loves, especially, right, dhikr and the Quran, right? And then save it from what Allah hates. And then when we say whatever Allah loves, it means, you know, prayer with intention and concentration, fasting with an intention and awareness of what it's giving to you, giving sadaqah to save you from the attachment of the dunya. It's a whole lot. So this whole concept of tazkiyah embodies all of Islam. All of Islam, right? So sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you headway into one area more than the other. So the path is not always exactly the same for every person, but ultimately it is the same. But it encompasses everything. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes the hearts, it can be rebellious. So you want to pursue, you know, certain good actions and incline towards it, but then you find that your lower self or your heart is kind of pushing back. Is that normal to experience that?
Yeah.
Day to day and time to time.
Yeah.
Improve over time.
So the question is that you sometimes notice that your heart is rebellious. You want to do something good, but it is fighting you. So is that normal, and can it happen from time to time, and can it improve? That's what you're saying, can it improve? It definitely is the case, because the heart is not going to accept everything that you throw at it. I want you to do this and this and this. The heart has its own attachments. I mean, our own attachments, because we've made it love this A, B, and C. So when you tell it, start doing something different, it will resist you. So you have to start pulling it away from that thing and into something else. So you have to be consistent, you have to be gradual, and you have to be patient, and you must not give up. And that's where dua comes in. And sometimes you need to kind of introduce more of a cleanse of the heart through reading the stories of the pious, or reading more Quran, to soften it enough so it can do these things for you.
So over time it won't fluctuate as much if you work at it.
No, it will always keep fluctuating, but the fluctuation is not going to be as drastic, right? So you keep it in more. So obviously, the hearts of the disbeliever are at the other end of the spectrum. So you're not at that, and not maybe at the hearts of the prophets, but you're inching closer and closer to them. So you're not suffering as much of the doubts as the hearts of the disbelievers, or the rebelliousness of their hearts. But it will always, right, rebel against you with this and with that. It has to, and that's the test that we have. So sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would say that, and again, that's the part of wisdom that you grant from the hadith, you'll always have strength of iman and then weakness. Consistently, every single person. So you just have to know how to deal with yourself at the low as well as the highs. Allahu a'lam. Barakallahu feekum. Okay.
When we're talking about the fluctuation of the heart, how is that as compared to the manifesting itself on the outside, when does the person come across as being indecisive, lack of confidence?
Oh, so the fluctuation that we're talking about here is mainly in terms of iman, not indecisiveness. So at time, your iman is very high, you want to do a lot, and you're compassionate and nice, and you read the Quran and you feel it, and then the iman drops to the levels where you don't feel like you want to do any ibadah. So these are the fluctuations where you go really high and really low, and really high and really low. And I'm saying to everybody who experiences the highs, praise Allah for it. It's a gift from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you experience the lows, don't beat yourself up and say, I'm a hypocrite, there's nothing, you know, there's this and that wrong with me. It's absolutely natural for every person to feel that. You can even lift, you know, a finger to do something, but you push yourself. And that pushing is jihad. So because Allah wants to see you, when it drops like this, would you keep pushing? So that's when then you start noticing, bi'idhnillah, over time, the lows are not as low. They will still drop, but not as low. And the high keeps getting high. It's a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Inshallah, so don't get into Maghrib time. Inshallah, we'll see you next week at the same time. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.